שלום, אנחנו לומדים את מאמר השלום בעולם של בעל הסולם.
Hello, we are reading from the article Peace in the World by בעל הסולם. We are reading under the headline Hopes for Peace from Peace in the World. Rav, please. Rav, I don't have anything to say. You'll read. I'll read. Hopes for Peace. Once those conditions brought society a great deal of strife and risked the well-being of society, the peacemakers appeared in society. They have assumed control and power and renewed the social life based on new conditions which they considered true to suffice for the peaceful existence of society.
Yet the majority of those peacemakers which spring up after every dispute naturally come from among the destructors, meaning from the seekers of truth by way of what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours. This is because they are the powerful and courageous ones in society, called heroes and courageous. For they are always willing to renounce their own lives and the lives of the whole collective if the collective disagrees with their views. But the constructors in society, who are the men of mercy and charity, who care for their own lives and for the life of the collective, refuse to risk themselves or the public in order to impose their opinion on the collective. Hence, they are always on the weak side in society, called the faint-hearted and the coward. It is therefore obvious that the hand of the reckless brave will always be on top. And it is natural that all the peacemakers come from among the destructors and not from the constructors. By this we see how the hope for peace, which our generation so yearns for, is futile both from the perspective of the subject and from the perspective of the predicate. For the subjects who are the peacemakers of our time and in any generation, meaning those who have the power to make peace in the world, are forever made of the human substance we call destructors. For they are seekers of truth, meaning to establish the world on the attribute of what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours. It is natural that those people defend their opinions firmly, to the point of risking their own lives and the life of the entire collective. And this is what gives them the power to always prevail over the human substance called constructors, the seekers of mercy and charity, who are willing to give up of their own for the sake of others in order to save the world, since they are the faint-hearted and the coward. It turns out that seeking the truth and the destruction of the world are one and the same, and the seeking mercy and construction of the world are one and the same. Therefore, we should not hope from the destructors to establish peace. And it is hopeless to hope for peace from the predicate, meaning from the conditions of peace itself, since the proper conditions of the well-being individual and the well-being of the collective, according to the criterion of truth that these peacemakers so desire, have not been established. And it is a must that there will always be a large minority in society who are dissatisfied with the conditions offered to them, as we have shown above regarding the weakness of the truth. They will always remain a ready and willing fuel for new quarrelsome people and for new peacemakers who will always follow.
שאלות?
Questions?
כן.
Yes.
מי הם בעלי הבניין בחברה?
Who are the constructors in society?
טוב, עוד שאלות?
Okay, other questions?
למה בעלי החורבן נקראים?
Why are the destructors called the seekers of truth?
Again,
why are the destructors called the seekers of truth?
Yes, that's also unclear. More? Niv?
Why, or how could it be that the peacemakers are the destructors? Because supposedly they should have been the constructors that are willing to relinquish. So how do the peacemakers that come to mine as mine and yours as yours even approach to make peace?
Okay, more? Okay, others agree with you that it's unclear. Basically not clear. Yes, Gilad?
Why are the constructors called the cowards?
Meaning, it's like here he turned something around. Something changed. He started as if speaking in a different language. We'll read again. To understand.
כן, תקוות השלום.
תקוות השלום.
Yes, hopes for peace.
Hopes for peace. Once those conditions brought society to a great deal of strife and risked the well-being of society, the peacemakers appeared in society. They have assumed control and power and renewed the social life based on new conditions, which are considered true to suffice for the peaceful existence of society. Yet, the majority of these peacemakers, which spring up after every dispute, naturally come from among the destructors, meaning from the seekers of truth by way of what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours. This is because they are the powerful and courageous ones in society, called heroes and courageous. For they are always willing to renounce their own lives and the lives of the whole collective if the collective disagrees with their views. But the constructors in society, who are men of mercy and charity, who care for their own lives and for the life of the collective, refuse to risk themselves or the public in order to impose their opinion on the collective. Hence, they are always on the weak side of society, called the faint-hearted and the coward. It is therefore obvious that the hand of the reckless brave will always be on top. And it is natural that all the peacemakers come from among the destructors and not from the constructors. By this we see how the hope for peace, which our generation so yearns for, is futile both from the perspective of the subject and the perspective of the predicate. For the subjects, which are the peacemakers of our time and in every generation, meaning those who have the power to make peace in the world, are forever made of the human substance we call destructors. For they are seekers of truth, meaning to establish the world on the attribute of what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours. It is natural that those people defend their opinions firmly, to the point of risking their own lives and the life of the entire collective. And this is what gives them the power to always prevail over the human substance called constructors, the seekers of mercy and charity, who are willing to give up of their own for the sake of others in order to save the world, since they are the faint-hearted and the coward. It turns out that seeking the truth and the destruction of the world are one and the same, and the seeking of mercy and construction of the world are one and the same. Therefore, we should not hope from the destructors to establish peace. And it is hopeless to hope for peace from the predicate, meaning from the conditions of peace itself, since the proper conditions for the well-being of the individual and the well-being of the collective, according to the criterion of truth that these peacemakers so desire, have not been established. And it is a must that there will always be a large minority in society who are dissatisfied with the conditions offered to them, as we have shown above, regarding to the weakness of the truth. They will always remain ready and willing fuel for a new quarrelsome people and for new peacemakers who will always follow.
אני שמח שיש עוד כמה שרצו לשאול.
I'm happy that there are still people who want to ask. Okay. All right.
Thank you, Rav. So this is an example, like with Abraham and Sodom and Gomorrah, it's the same thing.
Now you have a confusion there, and you want to solve with that the confusion here.
It's just an example. Abraham ran away from there, and we want to change society, not run away. I
hear you. Okay. Good. What do you want, Chupchik?
I don't understand why he writes that the title here is Hopes for Peace. But he says there's no hope.
No hope.
Yeah, because the constructors will always be the minority. So what is he doing to us?
Baal HaSulam explains to you the laws of nature. What do you want?
Yeah, he's writing the truth, no doubt.
So go to the craftsman who made you.
So we want to understand still why he writes the hopes for peace. Maybe hoping for peace is understanding that in the present state there is no hope.
No hope.
So we need some change to do.
Oh, here's another world reformer. Okay, guys, we're not going to solve this problem now. I'm actually happy to see you kind of in a decline and lack of physical and mental strength. We'll say goodbye till tomorrow and we'll continue.
I
have a lot of announcements, so let's be alert. First of all, Shavuot schedule. It's kind of complex, so pay attention. Thursday, 25th of May, it's going to be Shavuot Eve. So, as usual, morning preparation and morning lesson. In the afternoon, we're going to have a lesson from noon to 1, and at 2:30, we're going to have a Shavuot Eve meal, 2:30 p.m. The next day, Friday, 26th of May, as usual, lesson preparation, morning lesson, then as every Friday, a Chumus meal at 5:30. Then 11:45, we'll have a preparation for the noon lesson, noon to 1:30 lesson, and at 1:30, the meal of Shavuot. So pay attention. 1:30, right after the lesson, we'll have the meal of Shavuot. Now, Saturday, 27th of May, same lesson preparation and morning lesson. Then we're going to have, as we started, the Saturday morning lesson. Then 11:45, preparation to lesson, noon, afternoon lesson. So all this is Shavuot schedule. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, next week. Next topic, unity evening for the holiday of Shavuot, together as one. Dear friends, we're inviting you all for unity evening for Shavuot. Sunday, 28th of May, 6 p.m. here in Petach Tikva. It will be broadcast on the Ovud and Sviva Tova. We'll celebrate with a meal, Yeshivat Chaverim, and a premiere screening of a movie, 10 Steps in the Light, music theater, and a lot of happiness. Admission from the age of 18. Link will be sent soon to sign up. And today's schedule. 10 to 10:45, basic concept of the wisdom of Kabbalah will be broadcast a recorded lesson, then noon lesson at noon. Song.
Thousands of years in the darkness we roam, chasing a whisper that's guiding us home. So many miles searching for a sign to break free from these cages of time. Is there some place beyond all the noise? A sweet silence behind it?